He said, these are living stones. Don't turn them into bread. I said, I hear you, but what are you really trying to specifically address? I was preaching a totally different message and said, don't make them your source. I am your source. I never forgot that message. And so anytime I want to talk about giving, I first check here. What is my motivation? Do I have a motivation? Am I speaking about giving because I want something from the people? If that's the case, it's a no-go. I cannot. Because that spells something called covetousness. You cannot make people do anything. But the reality is, in life, and especially in the church, many times there are needs, there are expenses, there are all kinds of stuff. So you have to ask yourself, am I preaching about this because I want bills paid or whatever else? So you have to settle that. I say all of that to say this. When I started talking about giving last week, it was not because I wanted something from you. But I want something to come to you. Amen? It's a message, yes, to encourage those that are giving to know why they give. And be encouraged and be convicted, not guilt, but conviction, to know this is why I give, and in that conviction, be steadfast in continuing in what you know God has called you to do. And for those that have not learned the grace, walked with the grace, to understand, oh, so that's why you give. Okay, let me take my baby steps in the direction of that so I can experience the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Did you know that Word of God teaches us that we don't work so that our needs be met? But that Word of God says that the reason we work is so that we have seed. Yeah. Because God ultimately is your provider in your personal life. But God says, I want you to work so that you have seed, something to sow, something that He can multiply. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, remind yourself about some of the things we talked about last week. We started talking about the tabernacle, and we said that the place of giving starts with the place of praise. When you praise God, the Word of God says, let all the earth praise the Lord. Then shall the earth yield its increase. The increase of God is yielded, which means that the earth is holding on to it. It's holding on to your increase. But as you begin to praise God, the earth is forced to open up and yield it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let all the earth praise the Lord. Then shall the earth yield its increase. The Word of God says that we should bring to God the sacrifice of praise. Amen? The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise is not a praise that comes out of your mouth when everything is going well. The sacrifice of praise is a praise that comes out of you when things are tough and you're challenged and you are pressed. And instead of saying, woe is me, you say, thank you, Lord. I'm still here. I'm still here. Father, I have a voice, and I lift up my voice unto you. You are my strength. For the word of God says, God inhabits the praises of his people. So when you're weak, you praise God. It becomes a sacrifice. It's a challenge. But you don't let the circumstance stop you. For your faith and your trust is in the Lord, who is your source and your deliverer. Amen? Praise the Lord. You see, anytime you hear that word, deliver, I want you to picture this. Because that is a very interesting word, the word deliver or deliverance. It's a very, very interesting word. It reminds me of the Greek because to deliver can mean to set free. I was delivered, I was set free. To deliver means to give something to somebody. I delivered it. Are you with me? Two different things. To deliver means to birth. Oh. So she delivered a child. One word. And we can keep on going and see all the aspects of that word deliverance. But that word deliverance is rooted spiritually to your trust in God. To your trust in God. Psalm 22 and verse 3 says these words. Watch this. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The praises of Israel. God inhabits it. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst what? Deliver them. You delivered them. God is this very day doing the work of delivery. Hallelujah. I said God is doing the work of what? Delivery. He is delivering me from evil. He's delivering to me his favor. And he's causing me to deliver to birth. Hallelujah. In Luke 1, verse 42 and 43. The word of God says, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. This was the response of Elizabeth when Mary came to visit her. Mary went to see Elizabeth because she had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. And the angel told her that she's going to have a baby. And her response was very, very telling. He says, how is this going to be, seeing I know no man? How is this going to happen, seeing I know no man? How is this going to happen, seeing I know no man? I don't know anybody that's going to solve this problem for me. You're telling me something, that the blessing is coming upon my life, but how is it going to happen? I don't have any contacts. And when I'm talking to you about the blessing of the Lord, I'm saying to you, just like the Lord said to me, do not turn these people, these stones, into bread. Not to look at man for the birthing of the miracles of God that is about to bring about in your life and in my life and in this household of faith. Somebody shout hallelujah. How shall these things be? I don't have the degree. I don't have a big business. I don't know any rich uncles. I don't know any person that can help me come to this place where I can deliver and birth the promises of God. God says, that's not what you need. I have the answer. And I have to remind myself day in, day out, when I face situations, and thank God for the prayer that Mama prayed this morning. As she opened her mouth and spoke the first words, I sensed it. This is anointed. What is about to happen is so anointed. Something radical is about to happen in the lives of the people of God today. Hallelujah. I know that I know that I know. It is so. Your breakthrough, it's a God thing. You know, some this morning were waiting, pastor is going to come and lay hands on me. And the Lord says, no, don't you lay hands on anybody. I'm sure people were waiting, when is he going to come? I'm expecting, no. This is going to be my doing. I don't need your hands laid. I'm going to lay my hands on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God wants to personally deliver. The Bible says the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, the Holy Ghost. Shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest Oh, glory be to God. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing. I'm not just going to overshadow thee by the power of the Holy Ghost, but the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Word of God. The Word of God is about to be birthed in your life. But if you place your trust in your ability, place your trust in what you have in your pocketbook, place your trust in whatever it is that you think you have, then that's all you're going to be left with. But if you know that there is a God to whom you can hand over your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that in spite of how big the crowd is, 5,000 hungry men, and you know what hungry men will do when they're hungry, they will chow down everything, all 5 loaves and 2 fishes for one man, and we say, is there more? More, please. But when it is in the hands of God and He's broken it and put things in order, because remember, He did not just break the bread and give God thanks, praise. He told the disciples to organize the people and put them in groups of 50s. Why? Because 50 is the number of Jubilee. Hallelujah. 50 is the number of debt cancellation. 50 is the number of freedom and deliverance from captivity. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God was saying, today is the day of deliverance, and I'm going to take 5 loaves. Oh. 5 is the number of grace. I'm going to take 5 loaves, and I'm going to take 2 fishes. Take me to Genesis chapter 1, and let us read about the second day. What happened on the second day? Genesis 1. Says, we know what He did on the first day, let there be light. He says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the what? Waters. So there are 2 kinds of waters. And the revosha. Have you ever seen fish rain down? Anybody ever seen that? It happens. It can be raining and it will rain fish. I've seen it. Fish, you start dropping. Rain, fish is dropping. How on earth? Because there are realms that you don't understand. Now, from those waters, forget about the water, the fish raining. That's a different story. I can't explain that one. But I've seen it happen. You've seen it? God separated the waters, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Watch this. God separated the firmament, and then he separated water from land. So the first thing that we see God doing is he got land out. Hello? He brought out land. And then God started commanding things to happen from the foundation of what he did on the second day. He started calling out birds out of the water, the cattle out of the water. Everything, he said, bringing it out of the water, they were all things that were hidden inside there. Your praise will cause things to be released, but it has to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice. And part of the sacrifice that we bring to God is a sacrifice of that which is contrary to our nature. We all want to take me, myself, and I. And when you shift from the me, myself, and I, and you start looking out, it becomes a sacrifice. Did you hear that? Now, let me go back to what we talked about a little bit last week, and we'll continue. Because I want you to understand this morning that giving is an act of sacrifice. The praise God, they came to the altar, the brazen altar of sacrifice. And there, in that brazen altar, they sacrifice all kinds of animals. But the priest leaves that place, and he comes to this basin called the brazen laver. And it was made out of mirrors. So everything about it was reflecting you. You could see yourself. But the priest comes there because he couldn't go into the holy place with blood in his hands or on his feet. So he had to take the water, wash his feet clean. All of the priests will wash their feet, and they will wash their hands in that watery bowl. Remember what we said last Sunday. When they first came, all they saw was a reflection of themselves. Remember that? That's all they saw. But after you wash your hands, the clear water turns to blood, the blood of the sacrifice. And without that, they couldn't go any further. So many people are stuck outside because they've not sacrificed. And therefore, all they can see is themselves and what people say about themselves. Now, watch this. Can you see your face? You can't see your face. So somebody else has to tell you what you look like. Or else you have to look at a mirror. Yes? So your whole image of yourself is based on what something else told you. True? What everybody else tells you, that defines who you are. And so many of us are defined by the words of people. But this becomes true when you are a person who gives sacrificially unto God, and you've come to that ladder, you cease to see yourself. All you see is the blood. Is somebody listening? All you see is the blood. It's sacrifice. If you keep on seeing yourself, you did not sacrifice. No. You did not sacrifice. Because if you really sacrifice, you will see the blood. Now remember what I said earlier. There are two things. You wash your hands and you wash your feet. The Bible tells us about the preparation of the gospel of peace and tells us how beautiful are the feet of those who bring what? Good news. Huh? How did your feet become beautiful? And what is this good news? The good news of the sacrifice of the Lord. The good news. The gospel. You cannot really truly say that you are a believer and that you are totally sold out to God and not be a giver. There are two things that will not work together. Every child of God, created in the image and the likeness of God, has to have the character of God. And what is that character? The character of a giver. See, I don't have money. Okay. What do you have? Do you have some time? If you have time, you've got life. And ultimately, sacrifice is a sacrifice of your life. Your money that you are given is a sacrifice of your life. Because you're being paid for your life. When you go working, you've been paid for your life. So the word of God, we sometimes don't understand the full implication of this statement. When the word of God says, if a man will not work, what does it say? He should not eat. And then he says, that person is worse than an infidel. A pagan. Now, to be worse than a pagan, that's a serious word. Because pagans sacrifice. But it sacrificed to a wrong God. Yeah? No altar will speak without a sacrifice. An altar without blood is a monument. It's a structure. But the altar will speak. And the greater the sacrifice, the greater the deliverance. The Bible tells us that the people of Israel, hear this, the people of Israel go to war against a great king. And the king tried everything to bamboozle the people of Israel, but he kept on losing. He kept on losing. He brought his best man out, and he was losing. So what does he do? He goes, he grabs, don't do this. It's for the principle of it. Israel is winning the battle. The guy grabs his first son that was his heir that was going to take his place as king. And he slew him on the walls of the altar. And guess what happened? Israel lost. Because of the sacrifice that was speaking. Israel lost. Israel is, that's the people of God. But the sacrifice of that man was so great that it was greater than whatever Israel was doing. May the devil not have a sacrifice that's greater than ours. Thank God, God settled the matter when he gave his best. Hallelujah. When he gave his only begotten son, and nobody's going to match that one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we continued. As we started talking about the sacrifice, we talked about the sacrifice, the showbread of the light, the incense, and when we go past that point, we're going to come into the Holy of Holies. But we talked about that incense representing prayer. Remember that? And also representing offerings. Because both are that which give an aroma to God. God smells that and says, somebody's doing something there. Praise God. Now, we go past that and we come to the Holy of Holies. And thank God, now there is no more separation between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Because when the great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ happened, remember that? While he was at the cross, the curtain that made the separation for the holy place and the Holy of Holies was torn. So now, all of it became the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All of it became the Holy of Holies because of the sacrifice. Remember we talked about the separation of waters a moment ago? Okay. There was this separation, holy place, outer court, holy place, Holy of Holies. That separation is removed, and now the holiest place penetrates right through, and the tabernacle became the Holy of Holies, period. But it was still the outer court. Now, that tabernacle, the Bible tells us that there was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire right at the entrance of the tabernacle. The Lord said something to me today that I had not heard or perceived before. He said to me, do you know why they stayed in one place until the pillar of cloud on fire moved? I said, I don't know why. Do you want to know? I said, yes. Okay, I'll tell you. And the Lord said to me, until the sacrifice met the requirements that he needed, that pillar did not move. Their movement was based on the satisfaction of God, based on the sacrifice. that's what caused the pillar of fire or cloud to move. I said, Lord, I didn't know that. He said, I know you didn't know that. That's what I'm telling you. I've not seen it anywhere, read it anywhere. But the Lord was talking to me. He says, that was the criteria, the sacrifice. When I accepted the sacrifice that they have done well and I'm pleased, I moved them. Huh. I said, Lord, I want to know more about this. He said, I'm going to tell you more. Our movement in life is based on what we are willing to sacrifice. In the natural, if you are not willing to sacrifice, you will not start a business. You will always be an employee until you are willing to sacrifice something. Is somebody listening? Your sacrifice determines when you're going to move. If you're not willing to sacrifice, you are not moving. It is just the way it is. You're not willing to sacrifice your time to study, you are not going to pass. When Israel was willing to give the right sacrifice, they moved. The Bible says in the book of Haggai and also in the book of Malachi, when they were not willing to sacrifice, and you were centered in your own stuff, God says, I personally, when you collected money and put it in your pocket, I made holes in your pocket. So while you were walking, your money was falling off. And you say, where did my money go? He said, when you gathered stuff, I came and I blew on it, blew it away. He says, when you get your mindset right and you put me first, he says, then watch what I'm going to do. I am going to settle you, and I'm going to settle you good, because I am going to open the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour out my blessings upon you, and I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that's been devouring your stuff, I'm going to say, hey, it's paid up. You can't touch him. No, you can't touch him. The sacrifice. You see, when you have properly sacrificed, you don't see even an image of you. All you see is the blood. Because now you are connected with the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? I pray that you're hearing this. I pray that you're getting it. I pray that you're understanding it, that when you're giving, you are forging a pathway for an outpouring. Remember what we talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning to read from verse 6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, soweth sparingly. Now let's understand that word. Sparingly. To spare, let's say, I want to punish somebody. And the person says to me, spare me. What is he saying? He's saying, hey, let me go. Now, there's a good part to that, which is the aspect of mercy. So you spare somebody because you extend mercy towards them. But sparingly here, the word here, the meaning is set me aside for my own self-preservation. Do you see that? To set me aside is a word for holiness. It's also a word that connects us with mercy. But based on the heart, what was supposed to be mercy, what was meant to separate me, to deliver me, becomes something that is about me. I am keeping this. I'm keeping my life and my vision, my purpose, all to myself. But that's not exactly what God wants. We talk about a spare tire. Yeah? That's the tire that you are not using, that's kept aside. And then at a particular point, you use that spare tire, and in most vehicles, it's called a donut. It's a small little dingy little thing. Yeah? It's a spare tire. You cannot, and it will tell you that you can only travel so much distance with it, and you cannot exceed a certain speed limit with it. If you go past that speed level, you endanger your life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The same thing with a person who's giving sparingly. You slow down your pace, and the amount of distance you can travel is limited. Are you with me? We're talking about sparingly. A mindset that wants to hold back. But why do people hold back? Because they think God is about taking from them. So you give God your spare change. Now we're talking about spare. You understand what spare change is, right? Spare change is the extra after you have collected the main part. That's a spare change. And it's mostly coins. And that's what so many times people do. They give God their spare change. God says, no, I want the first tenth. I want to be just as important to you and more than important to you than that fine shoe, that fine dress, that fine house, that fine car, that fine agenda that you've got. I want to be number one. And if you put me first, that which you really like, I'm going to bring it to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, now, do you know that I've bought expensive shoes that will cost $300-$400 and I paid only $4 for it? Brand new. I paid $4. I paid $3. Brand new. Well, how is that possible? Because there are rams. You know, oh, please, Lord, help me. There are realms in the spirit that God can take you to, and you can shop in another dimension. You think I'm talking crazy here? You can shop in another dimension. Even yesterday, I shopped for shoes, $3, $4, and I was wondering, is this for real? I'm looking at the price, $300, and I'm shopping, and I'm paying $3 for it. And I'm saying, hello. Well, God already took me through that experience years ago.
Yes,
you remember?
Yeah.
They were there. I'm not talking stories here. They've been with us for the longest time. They saw the white suit. They know where I got it because we used to live in the same area. They know where the mall was, where the store was. I went there and I bought a suit that should cost me $300 for $19 something. And I went back to that same store and I said, do you guys still have that sale? They said, we don't do sales here. If you can't purchase it, it's not for you. I said, but I bought a white suit here. They said, no, we've never sold a white suit. I went home and I looked in the closet. The white suit was in there. And I said, Lord, what are those crazy guys talking about? And the Lord agreed with them and said, yes, you didn't buy it. I said, you too, you are agreeing with them. I didn't buy the suit in that place. He said, yes. I said, so where did I buy this white suit from? He said, didn't I tell you I was taking you shopping? I said, yes. He said, so I took you shopping. I said, but you took me shopping to that place. He said, no, I took you into another dimension. God can do extraordinary things. My problem, your problem, the problem of the body of Christ is that we have not tapped into the realm of God when we put God first. Five loaves, two fishes, and a young kid, if maybe, went home with 12 baskets. Can you imagine the disciples, the apostles, carrying the baskets of of bread and going to the going to the house of that young boy, and said, "This is for you. Where did this come from?" Don't worry about it. The woman had a business right that day. Are you hearing me? And if the Lord continues with what he started with, I'm sure that those baskets did not empty out. The more they were selling it, the more it was filling up. If they have the right heart to give, God will do extraordinary things with our lives. Now, in the passage in 2 Corinthians 9, it tells us, if you sow sparingly, you shall also reap sparingly. To the measure that you mete out, that's the measure will be meted out to you. If you sow sparingly, sparingly you will get. And he will sow it bountifully. Remember the word that I gave to you last Sunday? The word is the word eulogia. To give bountifully is to give an offering that speaks. Because eulogia is fine, beautiful, excellent speech. Praise the Lord. It is eulogia, that word, he we sow it bountifully, he we sow it praising. Because eulogia also means to praise. It means to be laudable, loud. Huh. It means to give famously. It is the kind of giving that my father gave September 5th of 1976. He'd given an offering of $20,000. And God challenged him to give more. And asked, I want your firstborn son. So in the Thanksgiving service, he offered me in the offering plate. And guess what happened? The power of God hit that church, flattened everybody. We'd not seen people slain in the spirit before. But people were slain. Chairs were flying all over the place. Demons were taking off. You could hear the screeching noise of demons. They were taking off because of an offering. Because of an offering. My father put me on the offering plate. And I don't know if I walked or if God grabbed me by the collar and dumped me right in the center of the stage. My hands are up. Because for 2 years, I wasn't willing to offer myself. I wasn't willing to give myself to God. I was more interested in the money. I didn't want to be in the ministry because I did not want to be broke, to be poor. Every pastor at that time in the 70s in Nigeria were broke. They were poor. Pastor Henry, am I saying the truth? He knows he was in ministry at that time, I'm sure. They were all broke. Everybody, if you were riding a bike and you're a pastor, hi, yi, yi. That's good stuff. A car? No. So here I am, a little kid, driving all kinds of vehicles. You want me to go and do what? No, I'm not doing that. In fact, I offered my junior brother, who's 7 kids behind me. He was the boy, next boy. After me is all girls. The next boy was born May the 5th. My birthday is May the 6th. I said to God, I said, there's a reason why that kid was born. The next boy to me was born May the 5th. Take him. Yeah, May the 5th. Take him. I'll support him. And the Lord says, shut up. If I wanted him, I would ask for him. You. And I opened the Bible. This was how staunch and hard against being a minister I was. I opened the Bible and I said, God, come here. Let me show you something. So I showed him from the book of Ephesians. Honor your father and your mother. I said, do you see here? He said, honor your father. I said, my father wants me to run the family business. He does not want me in the ministry. For 6 months, God shut his mouth. The God who spoke to me every day and said, I want you in the ministry, will show you in the mission field, shut his mouth. Didn't say anything. Not a vision, not a dream, not a prophetic word from anybody. 6 months until September the 5th of 1976. Whilst leading the praise and worship team in a special number, I hear my name, God calling me. And he says, Michael, today your father is going to give you up to the work of the ministry. And I don't want to hear any more excuses from you. That's how it happened. That I ended up in the offering plate. My dad was not planning on it. But that sacrifice spoke so loudly that my uncle, who was worshiping demons in a different city, before cell phones, landlines were rare, heard about it early in the morning. He was in our house. How that man left where he was in Lagos to come to Warri, I cannot explain. How he knew about it, all I can say is demons were speaking loud and clear, saying, hey, it has happened, it has hit the fan. There's a sacrifice that's about to turn things around. And the man comes, and he is the junior brother of my father. He attacks my father, disrespect of the highest level. You don't do that. And when he saw me, he went up and down and washed me up, foolish boy. You did church, 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 church. Now they have given you to God. What is your life going to end up being? It was a bountiful offering. Your offering needs to speak. Amen? It needs to speak. My offering needs to speak. Every time I come to the Lord, I must give him something that's speaking great things. Hallelujah. Because your offering speaks. Eulogia. When you give bountifully, it will speak good things. The Bible says the blood of Abel spoke. The blood of Jesus is still speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. Your offering shall speak. They said about Dorcas, look all the amazing things that she's done. Her offering was speaking. And she was raised from the dead, not because she looked beautiful, but because of her giving. Yeah? When God was looking to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he went and he found a Cornelius whose offering was a memorial. It was speaking before God constantly. It was speaking. It was speaking. It was speaking. Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah? The man is dying. But because of his giving, in spite of the attack of the enemy, when Isaiah came and said, get your house ready, you're going to die, the man turns his face to the wall and he cries out to God, God, this can't happen. Remember me? Remember? Huh? How can this be happening to me? I'm a giver. How can this happen? And God sends Isaiah back and says to Isaiah, go tell the man he's not going to die. The man comes, Isaiah comes to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah says, really? You came and you said, I'm going to die. Now you're coming back and telling me I'm not going to die. Proof. I need proof. What kind of proof do you want? Back up time. Back it up. Let the sun go back down. So that it is like you never said those first words. I'm going to die. Time has to be backed up. And God backed up time, as he will do for everyone who's practiced the practice of giving sacrificially. Hezekiah changed the atmosphere. The priests were poor. They were broke. Nobody was giving anything. Things were bad. But when Hezekiah came and turned things around, the Bible says the streets were filled with resources. And Hezekiah comes and says, what is this? What's